this week's parsha is Parshas Mishpatim, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. So Parshas Mishpatim, in a way, is really a new chapter in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Up until this point, most of what we learned was related to Maisa Bereshis, beginning with Bereshis Bar Elokim, Es HaShamayim Ve'Es HaAretz, going through the lives of the Oves HaKadoshim, which were Maisa Ovesim Labanim, planting the seeds of the future of the Jewish people, to the beginning of Sefer Shemais, which is the story of the Galus and the Geula, which is the story of how the Jewish people became the Am Segula, which ultimately fulfilled the role of creation. So really, from the beginning of time until where we're up to right now, Ruba de Ruba of what we've been learning has been quote-unquote stories, but these are not just stories. These were stories that were told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is, of course, the Torah, and this is the foundation of our Emunah and what it is that we're doing on this world. From Parshas Mishpatim, moving forward for really the next many, 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 many Parshias, the focus is going to be Mishpatim. It's going to be the Mitzvah Satayr. The Yidden had just received the Torah at the end of Parshas Yisrael. They heard Aseres HaDibrois from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They only understood two of them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anoichi v'layilcha. The rest required some commentary by Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Yidden received the Aseres HaDibrois at the great Maimid. And now, post the Maimid, they're going to start receiving the rest of the Torah. If they heard 10 Dibras, and there are 613 mitzvahs, so even though we said a Dibur and a mitzvah are not necessarily synonymous with each other, and 10 commandments is a very poor translation of Aseres HaDibrois, but at the same time, there's a lot of mitzvahs that the Yidden still need to receive. All those mitzvahs are somewhere in the Torah, and really a good chelik of the Avodah from here until the end of Parshas V'zayis HaBracha is going to be extrapolating and understanding what those mitzvahs at Torah are. So Parshas Mishpatim begins with a whole series of mitzvahs. And anyone that's ever learned Chumash Rashi in his life knows that Parshas Mishpatim comes with a little bit of Ema and Yira and Reses and Zeya, because there's long Rashis. And Befrat, if you learned in Chassidus Yeshiva V'Hamev and Yavin. But the bottom line is, a lot going on over here in Parshas Mishpatim. As a matter of fact, if you look in the introduction to the Sefer HaChinuch, where he's Moina all the different mitzvahs and what parshas they're associated with, so Parshas Mishpatim is in the top five in terms of how many mitzvahs there are in Parshas Mishpatim. If my math was right, I think it's about 53 mitzvahs that you have here in Parshas Mishpatim. So that's a very, very big number, which means we're going to go through a lot of halachas. But there's something very unique about the mitzvahs that are in Parshas Mishpatim. And that is, chronologically, these mitzvahs were given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, and ultimately to the Bnei Yisrael, immediately after Maimed Har Sinai. Meaning, we know that after Maimed Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo yochalti, umayim lo shosisi. He was literally like a malach. Came down at the end of the 40 days with the Luchos. He saw that the Yidden had worshipped the Chet Egel. It was Shavasa B'Tamas, the Shvira Saluchos. He went up for another 40 days, and another 40 days, but the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu initially going up to Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights was to receive the rest of the Torah, also the Luchos, but to receive the rest of the Torah. But these mitzvahs here in Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu was actually told before he went up for the 40 days and the 40 nights. So these are mitzvahs that are very unique in that we got these mitzvahs on the day of Har Sinai, somewhere between the conclusion of the great event, which we said, according to the Rishonim, happened in the morning and lasted for 3 hours, and the time, whenever it was, that Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to Shemayim. So the location of the mitzvahs that are mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim really speaks volumes in terms of their importance. And of course, part of the Avodah of Parshas Mishpatim, not when you're learning Chumash Rashi, but when you're learning Chumash, part of the Avodah of Parshas Mishpatim is to try to understand why these mitzvahs are tucked away. Why would we have these mitzvahs here immediately following Har Sinai. And by the way, just to appreciate this diak a little bit better, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we're going to return to the regular program. We're going to go back and we're going to continue discussing Maimed Har Sinai. So really, these mitzvahs are very much an interruption of the narrative of Maimed Har Sinai. If there were five mitzvahs in Parshas Mishpatim, you'd feel it much more. Being that it's 50-something, so it's a little hard to appreciate it. It feels like a parsha b'fnei atzmai. It feels like the Yidden just got the Torah. Gevaldik. Now let's start learning. Everyone rolls their sleeves up. You bring shtenders and coffees, and we try to understand the Mishpatei HaTorah. That's not where we're at yet. We'll be there, but not right now. Right now, we're still in the midst of the event of Maimed Har Sinai. We could still feel the smoke and the fire and the darkness and the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the fire and the fire, right? We could still experience Maimed Har Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu sits down with the Yidden and says, there's certain mitzvahs, a lot, make yourself comfortable, that you have to know. And then we're going to resume with the narrative, and that is the Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go up to Shemai. So really, as much as Parshas Mishpatim, as we were mocked him, is turning the page, it is and it's not, because we're still in the midst of Maimed Har Sinai, which was the topic of the previous parasha. We're just, for whatever reason, hitting the pause button, exhaling, coming up for a little bit of breath, and getting the sequel to the Aseres Advarim that the Yidden heard at Har Sinai. And really, that's what it is that's going on here in Parshas Mishpatim. One other point that I think is worth mentioning as a hakdama, and that is the Abarbanel, right in the beginning of the parasha. He says, "Ro'isi chachamenu haktoshim mefarshei haTorah b'deis chalukos." I've seen a very interesting machloikis amongst the chachamim haktoshim who were the mefarshei haTorah. What are they arguing about? Im yesh sidur lemishpatim uledinim haTorahim sheniskru b'Torahim loy. Is there a seder to the mishpatei haTorah, or is there no seder to the mishpatei haTorah? Right, you go through the Torah, there's mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah. Is there a seder or is there no seder? For Rubam Chashv, listen to this. Barbanel says most of the mefarshim that I saw were of the opinion she'ein lahem seder kolikar. There's no methodology to the order of how the mitzvahs were presented. Ad kedei kach shemei kadmonim amru shelo dashin and smuchim, that you can't get up and say a pshetel based on the fact that you have this mitzvah next to that mitzvah. The reason is because it's all random and there's no cheshbon in terms of why it would have been presented in that way. Uktsasam amru, some said this is true in Torah Shabbat as well. Ein seder lemishna. V'lochein, it's for that reason. Lo yekpidu laseis tam biktimas hamishpatim ha'ilo zeh lozeh. They never bothered trying to figure out why this would be here and that would be there, because to them it's all random. I don't know, it had to be presented in some way, so it was presented in this way. But don't read too much into the Seder HaParshias, because really, Ein Lohem Seder Kol Iker. I'm skipping a little bit. Says the Abarbanel, Ha'omna, Masheroi Shetishbait Bezeh Asfarah Yesharehu. But you want to know my opinion? And you want to know what I think the logical and rational approach of this is? Sheyesh Seder LeMishnah. There is Seder LeMishnah. Umuktum Ummeucher B'Lemudei HaTorah. And there is Muktum Ummeucher when it comes to the parish of the Torah. Ki Ein Roi Liyachis Lo Yisparach HaShoifit Kol Aretz B'Teroisav. Because it would be inappropriate for someone to attribute inyan, a work to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi bilti hasidur, and say that it was just, I don't know, some random bullet points. I was just jotting things down as they were coming to my mind. Because this is something that would be inappropriate for the katan amechabrim. Kal v'chomer ben benoishel kal v'chomer, when it's coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's for that reason that Barbanel, I'm skipping again, says, omnam b'ktimas ha'dvarim l'fi gidreim v'atzman. There's no question that there's a cheshbon. And he says, I'm going to explain to you as we navigate all the mishpatei haTorah what I believe the hemshech is and how one mitzvah connects to the other mitzvah, which connects to the next mitzvah. So, and you'll understand this beautiful symmetry in terms of how it is that the Mishpatei HaTorah were presented. It's interesting what the Barbanel bangs out, Barichas, here in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. The Rishonim already said that in Ezra, also here in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, Kisikna, right, by the first mitzvah that we have in this week's parash, it says, I'm going to give you a rule before I start explaining these psukim. Ki chol mishpat oy mitzvah, every single mishpat or mitzvah, kol echad oy meid bifnei atzma. Each one is an individual mitzvah. Vim yochonu limtzei tam, lama dov exam mishpat alzeh. Stating that, if you'd be able to come up with a reason, if you have epsa svara to suggest why one mitzvah is connected to another mitzvah, oy zois ha mitzvah el zois, nidbak it's something we should try to do. Because there's a methodology to it. And Nebuchadnezzar goes further. And let's say we can't come up with a reason why one mitzvah is attached to the other mitzvah. We should think that this is a us problem. Meaning, we, for whatever reason, can't come up with the real pshat. But Avada says to Ebenezer, what the Abar Benel says, that there's a cheshbon. If you look at the Ramban, and this is one line tucked away, in the middle of everything that's going on, but the Ramban says, in the end of Pasuk Beis, V'chol ha-parshiyos, he says, as it relates to all these parshiyos, besidur u'bekavona nechayna. You should know they were written with a sidur. They were written with a order, and of course with a very, very precise intent. The bottom line is what the Abar Benel says, the Ibn Ezra already said, and the Ramban already said, and that is yesh muktam u'me'ocha b'tayra. There's a cheshbon, there's a seder in terms of how all these different mitzvahs are presented. So of course, part of the avoida of learning chumash, we're not learning the Torah Shabbat peh per se right now, we're learning more the Torah Shabbat Ksav. A part of the avoida of learning the Torah Shabbat Ksav is trying to understand the seder. But I think it goes without say that if this is true for all mishpatei HaTorah, it's true for Parshas Mishpatim. Because Parshas Mishpatim's Mishpatim are very unique. These were mitzvahs that were given right after Maimon Har Sinai, before Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim. And as a result, there has to be a cheshbon of why these mitzvahs would be here. So to go through the avoid of trying to string together these mitzvahs, according to the Abar Benel, the Venez and the Ramban, is always a Dover Nachain, because it's Torah. But without question, it's a Dover Nachain as a result, as it relates to these mitzvahs. So the question then begs itself, before even seeing all these mitzvahs, what do these mitzvahs have in common? Meaning, 50 plus mitzvahs, we're going to go through Bava Kama, we're going to go through parts of Bava Metzia, we're going to learn literally snippets of Kol HaTeirikol. This is going to be an incredible smorgasbord of halachas. Why these halachas? So that Abar Benel, if you go through his Akdama, he takes his thesis a step further. He says that I believe every single mitzvah that we're going to learn right now, Parshas Mishpatim, you ready? Is on some level a pirush on the Aseres HaDibros. So Klal Yisrael heard the Aseres HaDibros, and these were the 10 cornerstones of what Yiddishkeit is. And they heard it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Lashon Kitzara. They heard it very, very brief. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Mipi HaGvura, is going to start explaining a little bit all the Aseres HaDibros. So says the Abar Benel, every single one of the mitzvahs that are mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim has to trace itself back to one of the Aseres HaDibros. And by the way, that Abar Benel does the work. That Abar Benel goes through every single one of these mitzvahs, and he explains in his way which one of the Aseres HaDibros it's connected to. It's in and of itself a fascinating limud. Regardless, without further ado, Zokt the Pasuk, Parshas Mishpatim, says the Pasuk, the Eilah Mishpatim, the following are the Mishpatim, the laws, Asher Tosim Lifneyem, that you should place Lifneyem, meaning in front of the Yidin. Rashi says that Parshas Mishpatim begins with a Vav, which is interesting, right? You don't start a story and... What do you mean, and? You start with something, and then you'll tell me, and this, and that, right? But Mishpatim begins, ve'eleha Mishpatim. It begins with a Vav. A Vav is always Mechaber. And Rashi says, the limud is that you have to understand that all these Mishpatim were never besinai. It's connecting Parshas Mishpatim to Parshas Yisroel, something we very much just talked about. So what's the first of the Mishpatim that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tosim lefneim, you should place Kishulchan Aruch in front of the Yidden? In the event that you, any one of the 600,000 Yidden, at some point in the future is going to purchase a Jewish slave, Sheishanim Yavoy, he should work for you for 6 years, Ubashvias, and in the seventh year, Yetzei Lachav Shechinam, he should go free. There's no such thing that you purchase a Jewish slave and you own him forever. So, you could purchase a slave, That's okay, al pi Torah. But at the same time, only sheish shanim yavoid, he's only allowed to work for you for 6 years. Afterwards, yetzei lachav shechinam, you're going to have to let him free. In begapa yavoid, in the event that when you purchased a slave, he came begapa, he came alone, he wasn't married, then begapa yetzei, then when it comes time for him to leave, he's going to leave alone as well, meaning you have no right to provide him with a wife. Im bal isho. If, however, this slave that you purchase, hatashtib mit kinder, he's already married, then, says the pasuk, vi yotza ishtoi imoy, his wife should go out with him. Now, it sounds a little bit from the pasuk that if somebody purchases an eved ivri and this eved ivri is married, that not only is he going to have some control over the eved, but it sounds like he's going to have some control over the eved's wife as well, right? Im bal ishahu v'yotza ishtoi imoy. Oh, it sounds like this wife that he was married to somehow was included in the sale. Is that true? So Rashi says no. Rashi asks the kasha, v'chi mi hechnisa shetetze? How did she ever become an eved or an amma that now all of a sudden the Torah is saying v'yotze ishne imay alamagad akasev? What the Torah is coming to teach us is akoyne eved ivri chay v'mzayne sishtay ubana. That if somebody acquires an eved ivri, he has an obligation now to support and to sustain the Eved's wife and the Eved's children. And that's what the pasuk means when it says v'yotza ishtoi imay. Additionally, im adoinov yitein lo isha, in the event that the master decided to give this Eved a wife, v'yoldalei banam ayvanois, and now this wife that the adoin decided to give the Eved had children, when it comes time for the Eved Ivri to go out, meaning after 6 years, so the Isha and the Yilodeh are going to remain with the Adoin, meaning this Eved is not going to take his wife and the children with him, because they belong to the Adoin. When he's going to leave, he's going to leave by himself. So let's just chazer over these two psukim, because they're a little bit tricky in terms of all the Joshua's chazal. So chazal say as follows. In the event that somebody buys an eved ivri, and this eved ivri is not married, he's single, he's begapa yavoi. Well, if that's the case, then begapa yetze. He's going to leave by himself. If he's a bal isha, then v'yotza ishtoi imay. Number one, see, he came with a wife. His wife is going to leave. Additionally, then the adoin has a right to provide him with an isha, and he may have children with that isha. And in the event that he does, when it comes time for him to leave, again begapa yetze, he's going to leave on his own. But a isha v'yilodeh, as it relates to the wife and the children, tiyaladinel, they're going to remain with the adoin. The way Chazal understood these psukim is that although there's an idea that the Adin has a right to provide this Eved Ivri with a wife so that they can have children, but the only time the Adin has a right to do that is in the event that he was a Baal Isha. So if he's a Baal Isha, if he was married already, so then, almost counterintuitively, the Adin can give him a second wife through which he's going to go ahead and he's going to have children. If, however, he was Begapa, he came by himself, Begapa Yetze, he's not going to leave with his original wife because he doesn't have an original wife. Additionally, he's never going to have another wife. That is even what to talk about as it relates to Isha V'yolodeh Tiyo Ladinel. Again, it's not tricky, but the halachas are very simple, very straightforward. So if somebody comes into an avdus and he's not married, well then when it comes time to leave, obviously he's going to leave a single man because he never got married. Additionally, the Adin has no right to go ahead and provide him with a wife. If, however, he comes into the avdus married, then V'yotze when he leaves, what does that mean? Not that she was really ever and ever, but like Rashi says, additionally, the Adin has a right to provide him with a wife, and when it comes time to leave, however, that wife is not going to come along with him. The reason is because now Chazal say that who is this wife that the Adin has a right to provide him with, and why is this wife and the children remaining with the Adin? So believe it or not, she's a shifcha kananis, a very big chiddush. A yid's not allowed to marry a kananis, a yid's not even allowed to marry a shifcha kananis. And by the way, despite the fact that a shifcha kananis is chayev in mitzvahs, right? La la meisha, so we know that evet kanani and a shifcha kananis are obligated in certain mitzvahs, but at the same time, they're only Yisrael b'miksas, and of course a yid is not allowed to marry a shifcha kananis. But afilu hachid is a chiddush in the parashah of Avadim, and that is that an evet ivri is allowed to marry a shivcha knanis, but it's only in the event that he was a baal ishus. If he came into the marriage married already, came into the avdus married already, so then there's an idea that he's allowed to marry the shivcha knanis. But here's the point, being that she's a shivcha knanis, so she's really a real bona fide possession of the adlin. So it's for that reason, even though he's allowed to go free after 6 years, but that has no impact, it has no bearing on her. She's a regular shivcha knanis. The children are also going to be avodim and shvachis. Therefore, each of yilodeh tiyo ladoinel, he has the right to go out, he's going to go out by himself. Rashi, also quoting the sugyas of avodim, says that the only time that an adin has a right to give his eved ivri a shivcha knanis is in the event that the way this eved ivri became an eved ivri was machru bezdin. The bezdin went ahead and sold him. So there's two ways that somebody can become an eved ivri. Either he sells himself into slavery, or Bezdin forced them into slavery. So he stole from somebody, for example, and he had no ability to pay back. So Bezdin will come, and Bezdin's going to force him into slavery. The only time there's a halacha of Rabbi Moiser Shivcha Knanis is in the event that it was a Machru Bezdin. Either way, the pasuk continues and says, what happens if after 6 years, the Eved says, Ahavti es Adoini es Ishti ves Banoi, says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, right? He was just given a wife and children. Lo Yetzei Chavshi, I don't want to leave. So again, after 6 years, he leaves his Adoin. Not just that, he leaves his wife and he leaves his children. So he's leaving his life for the last 6 years. And he says, you know what? I actually like my life. I sort of got used to it. Ahavti es adoini, es ishni ve'es bonoi. Lo yeitzei chavshi. I don't want to go out. Yigishi adoin of el hu elohim. So there's a plan B. The adoin, the master, should take this evan, bring him to Bezdin. V'yigishi el adelas oyal mezuzah. And then they bring him, now the pasuk says, to the door or to the doorpost, stating that, Rashi says, they would bring him to the door. So why do we say to the door or to the doorpost? We're makish the door to the doorpost. And just like the doorpost stands, right, it's ba'amida, so too the delis has to be a delis that's standing. But really they bring him to the door. V'rotza adoinov es oznoi b'martzeya. And the adoin would then take a drill and drill his earlobe with a martzeya, with some sort of tool. V'avodoi lo'oilom. Then this Eved doesn't go free after 6 years. He remains there. La'olam, Rashi says La'olam, although literally means forever. If you take a look at the Rashbam, says Lafi Pshutay Shal Mikra, means forever. But of course, everyone knows this Rashi, that it doesn't mean forever. It means until Yovel, and until Yovel, he is going to remain there. So again, really, an Eved is supposed to go free at the end of 6 years. Stating that, what if he decides that I don't want to go free after 6 years? Why? Ahavti es adoini. Or even better, maybe when he came into the marriage or came into the avdus, he was already married. And as a result, Bezdin had a right to provide him with Isha, and he has already a family through this Isha. Now, when he leaves, so Isha viladeh tia ladinevu yeitzei begapa, and he doesn't want to leave his family behind. So, there's a plan B. The plan B is, vihigishay adoinav el ho elohim, vihigishay el hadeles oyala mezuzah, now the Pashup Shad in this whole ritual of taking the Eved to the Delis or to the Mezuzah and drilling a hole in his ear, it's related to some sort of simon of Avdus, right? You know, the Avadim, very often the master would brand something inside of them, right? There was some physical simon that this person is an Eved. So the hole in the ear, that's the sign of Avdus. Now you're an Eved Lo'olam. Ordinarily a Yid is not an Eved Lo'olam, but if you want it, so there's some sort of process, some surgery that you have to go through, and through that, now you're going to be an Eved Lo'olam, right? L'havdol elef alfei avdolos, bris mila is a sign of avdus ta'kadosh baruch, right? There's such an idea that you find in the Torah. So here too, you have the inyan of v'rotza adoinov es oznoi b'martzeya. When a person does that, oh, now you're becoming an Eved to this person, v'avodei lo'olam, and this is something that you could do. We're going to get back to this soon. So either way, the first part of Parshas Mishpatim is the story of the Eved Ivri. Now, the pasuk continues and it goes, Me inyan lim, inyan ba'isa inyan, from the story of the Eved Ivri to the story of the Amma Ivriya. So the Amma Ivriya is the female version of the Eved Ivri. Says the pasuk, V'chiyim karish hasbita la'amma, in the event that a man is going to sell his daughter as an Amma Ivriya. Rashi says we're talking about a girl that's a ketana. So she's not a gedola, she's a ketana. Rashi says, how do I know that? So of course, quoting Chazal, because the halacha is that a girl that was sold as an Amma, when she becomes a gedola, she leaves her avda. So madach, Amma, that's already an Amma, once she becomes a Gdoila, will have a Yetziah from her Avdus. Kal v'chomer, in the event that she was an Amma L'chatchila, or a Gedoyla L'chatchila, that the Adam wouldn't be allowed to sell her. So in the event that an Ish is going to sell his daughter, that's a Ketana, as an Amma, says the Pasuk, she should not go free the way all Avadim go free. Now, there's a very interesting machlokes rishonim, how to learn Pashup Shana in this Pasuk. Rashi says that Pashup Shana in this Pasuk is, and he's quoting a Mechilta, is Loiseisik Etseis Avadim means that this Amma of Ria should not go free in the same way that an Evet Knani or a Shivcha Knanis goes free. Meaning, the Jewish slave should not go free in the same way as the non-Jewish slave goes free. How does the non-Jewish slave go free? So Rashi quotes a pasuk that's coming up in the next year, and that is with Shein V'ayin. Right, so we're all familiar, those that learn Gemara, with the idea of Shein V'ayin. And that is that in the event that somebody has a non-Jewish slave, and then he knocks out the slave's eye, or tooth, or one of the other Rashi Evarim, the halach is the slave automatically gets to go free. That's true for an Eved Knani, that's true for a Shivcha Knanis. What the Torah is saying is, V'chiyim kar ishes bitay la'amma, lo'y seitze kitzeisu avadim. You should know this Amma of Riyah is not going to go free in the same way that the Eved Knani that we're going to learn about later is going to go free. If you take a look at the Ramban and the Rashbam, they're very bothered with Rashi's Pshat for a few reasons. Number one, nobody said anything yet about the Eved Knani. So why are you telling me now, if the previous parasha, let's say, would have been David Kanani, and now you're telling me the halacha of the Amma of Ria, so you want to tell me that she's different than the Kanani counterpart, okay? But you didn't say one word about the non-Jewish counterparts. I don't even know what it is. I have to know 20 psukim later to understand what this pasuk means. Al derech hapshat, that seems very, very rachak. Additionally, why would the Torah tell this to me only by the Amma of Ria? Why would the Torah not have told it to me in the previous psukim, which was talking about the Eved Ivri? Avadim feels like it's unique to the Amma of Ria. It's not true for the Eved Ivri. If that's the case, it must mean something else. Because it's true that Amma of Ria doesn't go out b'shem v'ayin, but the Eved Ivri also doesn't go out b'shem v'ayin. So says the Ramban and the Rashbam. A whole different pshat in lo yitzeitze kitzeitze avadim, which in pshutei shal mikra a little bit jumps off the page. And that is, the Torah now is about to introduce the mitzvah of yiyud. It's the topic of the next three psukim in the Torah. So what's the mitzvah of yiyud? This is a big sugya. And by the way, we have lomdish reidbites on this sugya. In Masechtas Kedushin Daf Yutes, that's the primary mucker for it in the Torah Shabbat Peh. The mitzvah of Yud is that when a man purchased Amma of Ria, what he was supposed to do, l'chatchila, was marry this woman. He's not supposed to just have her work for him as a slave. He's supposed to marry her. You marry her, you're going to protect her. You marry her, you're going to take care of her, right? So the real objective of how the parasha of Amma of Ria is supposed to work is it's supposed to work through marriage. Now, the Torah was mechadesh, a very unique type of marriage. Ordinarily, if somebody gets married, so ki kachish isha, isha niknes bekesef shtarubia. The Torah said that in the event that somebody purchases an Amma of Ria, the money that he gives the father of this girl to purchase his daughter, that money in and of itself could be the proverbial kesef kedushin, and as a result, when he purchases this Amma of Ria, he's really being mekayim two things. Number one, he's buying an Amma of Ria. Number two, he's also getting married if he so chooses to do. But the bottom line is, there's a unique type of kedushin known as yiyud, which is a mitzvah, by the way. Rashi speaks it out here in the midst of these long Rashis. And there's an idea for the father to go ahead and to actually marry this girl. The Torah is going to say, as we'll see in a minute, that in the event that the father chooses not to, so there's a plan B. Plan B is that the father's son should go ahead and should marry this girl. If they don't do that, there's actually a plan C. There's like even a third option. The third option is figure out a way for her to be able to go back home. Meaning, try to get your money back, get reimbursed, figure out how much she worked for you, and you know, come up with some sort of amortization schedule. I don't know. Figure out a way out. But the bottom line is, there's a mitzvah of yud. What does that mean if there's a mitzvah of yud? That means in a perfect world, Zakhtar Ramban and the Rashbam, if somebody buys an Amma of Ria, how long is this Amma going to work for her Adain? Really forever, in a way. Because she's going to be married to the Adon. And if she's married to the Adon, so then she's not going free, right? She's married. This is a whole different inyan. You need to get her ready for that. So now she's going to be married. The Eved Ivri, there's no inyan of Yiyud. So the Eved Ivri becomes an Eved. The Torah says, Sheishanim Yavod, Ubashviyas Yetze, Lachav Shechina. But as it relates to the Amah of Riya, over there there's a mitzvah of Yiyud. And because there's a mitzvah of Yiyud, in a perfect world, she's not going free at the end of 6 years. She's going to remain an Amma of Riyah forever. In the event that a man is going to sell his daughter as an Amma, the Amma should not go out the same way the Eved goes out. Not the Eved Knani, Zokta Ramban and the Rashbam. The Eved Ivri who goes out after 6 years, that should not apply to the Amma of Riyah. Now, by the way, is that true? An Amma of Riyah doesn't go out after 6 years? No, it's false. We know an Amma of Riyah goes out after 6 years, just like the Eved Ivri goes out after 6 years. But that's plan D already. Because really, that's not the way it's supposed to play itself out. The way it's supposed to play out is that there's a mitzvah of yiyud. And in the event that the father doesn't want to do the yiyud, the son should do the yiyud. Which would mean that she's going to remain with them forever. And if none of them want to do the yiyud, well, then there's a third thing you're supposed to do is, and that is the hefta, as we'll see. You're supposed to do some sort of redemption. There's supposed to be some sort of pidyon. And if that doesn't work out, Peseder, then already she's loy gara. She's not any worse than the Eved Ivri. And just like the Eved Ivri, the same is going to be true as it relates to the Amma of Riyah. But either way, just in the Pshutai Shal Mikra, Taichin the Pasik, it's a fascinating Taich, especially after you learn all the Sugis of Avadim, which we've done over the years. It's very, very interesting, regardless. So the Pasik, again, the way the Ramban and the Rashbam are explaining is that in the event that somebody sells his daughter as an Amma, so Leiseitze Kiseis Avadim, there's a whole different Shulchan Aruch, which would state that Lechatchila, really, she shouldn't just leave after 6 years. Okay, so what exactly is that? So the Torah is going to introduce to us now the mitzvah of yiyud and the lechatchila way, which is that the actual adon does the yiyud, the bidyavid way, which is that the son does the yiyud, and then the more bidyavid, an event that nobody wants to do the yiyud. So let's just figure out a way to get her out right now, and then, of course, the plan D is going to be that she will be seitzei ketzei savadim. Stating that, the Torah is going to tell us all this in a little bit of a roundabout, little bit of a circular way. We gave the introduction to it, so we know how it's supposed to play itself out. Now let's read the Pesukim inside. It says, the Torah, Imra be'enei adoneha, ashaloya ada. In the event that this girl, Rashi says, is not noisachein by the Adon, and as a result, he does not want to go ahead and do yiyud. So the way you read this is, if the girl is ra, she's not noisachein in the eyes of her Adon, ashaloya ada, which therefore is not creating a situation where loya ada, he wants to take her as a bride, the hefta. So the next thing you should do is, you should go ahead and be paid to her, meaning try to figure out a way for her to get out now and not have to wait the full term. Additionally, this girl cannot be sold to an Am Nachri, right? Because of the fact that there were people that sort of rebelled against her. So what does this mean? So this also is a big machlokes rishonim. Rashi says, La'am Nachri la'yimsha la'machra bevigdaiva is coming to teach me a halacha. And that is that once a girl is sold, she can't be sold again. That means that in the event that the Adon himself says, you know what, I don't want to marry her. See, instead of me taking her, let me sell her to somebody else, that person maybe will want to marry her. But once she was sold, the Adon is not allowed to sell her again. Rashi adds to that, and Rashi says, even the father is not allowed to go ahead and sell her again. But if you look at the Ramban, based on a Mechilta, the Ramban says, I think this means something else. I think this means that you're never allowed to sell an Amma of Riya to a non-Jew. So you're allowed to sell to a Jew, but you're never allowed to sell to a non-Jew. And this is in contrast to an Eved Ivri who could be sold to a Kanani and to a Ger Toshav. It's a whole parsha in the Torah and parsha's Bahar. But as it relates to an Amma Vriya Nan, and then the Ramban says, Vahatam Yodua. He says the reason is very, very obvious, because if you're going to sell this Amma Vriya to a non-Jew, obviously this person will not treat her properly, and it's for that reason it's not okay. But either way, says the Pasuk, continuing along with the mitzvah Vyud, Imlev Noi Yiodeno. In the event that the father doesn't want to do the yiyud, so then the son could also do the yiyud. And if he does, he has to treat her the same way you treat a wife. How do you treat a wife? Right? So Rashi says there's three things that a man is biblically obligated to provide to his wife. Sher ksus v'oino. What is that? So the next pasuk is actually going to mention. Im acheres ikach loy. In the event that this father or this son that did the yud also has another wife, that's okay. Right? This is before Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom. So that's okay. However, She'eiro ksusa v'oinasa layigra. You have to make sure that you're going to continue to treat the Amavriya as a proper wife. So the three things that you have to provide to an Amavriya, which is Sher ksus v'oinah, these three things you're going to have to continue to provide. So you can't say, now that I have another wife, so I'm going to be lax, I'm not going to take such good care of her. No. You have to take care of her. She'eiro ksusa v'oinasa layigra. These are things you're going to have to continue to provide. Now, what are those three things? So Rashi says, She'eiro is mezainus, ksusa kemashmoy, right? That's a ksus. And oina Rashi says is tashmish. If you look at the Rashbam in oime pshutai shal mikra, he says he thinks the word oinas is miloshen ma'oin. It's an abode, right? It's a roof to live under. So he says you have to provide her with food, you have to provide her with clothing, you have to put a roof on top of her head. Either way, im shlosh eila la yasala. And in the event that the Adain is not going to do these three things, this is one of the trickiest psukim in the Torah if you don't look in Rashi. Right? What does it sound like, shlosh eila? I don't know, it sounds like sher ksus faina. Those are the three things we just mentioned, but of course that's a mistake. Im shlosh eila la yasala means what we mentioned before we started the amavriya. It means the Adain doesn't do the yud, the son doesn't do the yud, and you're not even a kind of a hefta. You don't try to figure out a way for her to get out sooner. Then she's treated like a regular Amavriya, who's treated like a regular Eved Ivri. At that point, she's going to go out the same way an Eved Ivri goes out. So really, that's the lechatchila. What are you supposed to do? Yiyud, yiyud, pidyon. In the event that shlosh eila lo yasala, the father didn't do the yud, the son didn't do the yud, and you weren't a kind of a hefta either, well, at that point, okay, so the yatzachinam and kasev, then she's going to go free the way any Eved Ivri goes free. By the way, Chazal also learned from the Yatzachinim and Kasev that an Amavriya goes out. An Amavriya goes out when she becomes a Gedoyla, a special Yitzia that she has that the Eved Ivri doesn't have. Regardless, there's about 50 sugis and shas that are associated with these 10 psukim that we just learned. But as it relates to the Teresh HaBiksav, this is the parasha of the Eved Ivri and the Eved Ivriya. So let's do a very quick recap. So the Eved Ivri is an Eved that's an Ivri. So this is a Jewish male that was just sold into slavery. We said there's two ways a person could become an Eved Ivri. You could become an Eved Ivri because you sold yourself into Avdos. A person's homeless. A person can't take care of himself. So he makes a deal that's not geschmack, but he says, let me sell myself into some sort of slavery like this. At least I'll have a place to sleep. I'll be served three meals. I'll have to work for somebody, like a slave. True. But at the same time, at least I'll have something. That's something that once upon a time used to happen. Or a person could become an Eved Ivri because Bezdin forced him into slavery. This is someone that has an outstanding loan. He owes people money. And as a result, the way for him to pay off his loan is to just work for this person. This is very old school. But the bottom line is, again, Bezdin is forcing him into slavery. Rashi speaks out that the Ikar Parsha, here in the beginning of Parsha's Mishpatim, is talking about the Machru Bezdin. Either way, what is the halacha of this Eved Ivri that was sold by Bezdin? Shei Shonim Yavod, Ubashvi Yetze, Lachavshi Chinam. If this man is married, by the way, the Adin has an obligation to support his wife. If he's married, additionally, the Adin has a right to provide him with a second wife. This wife is a Shifcha Knanis, which is an incredible Chiddush. In the event that he has children with this Shifcha Knanis, Ha'isha Vilodea Tia Ladinia. By the way, to appreciate this a little bit better, what's this big deal? The Adin has a right to provide him with a wife. Like, why does the Adin even care? It's very simple, because Ha'isha Vilodea Tia Ladinia. Right, in the words of the Gemara, he's Oved Bayoim and he's Oved Balayla. Helping this person's fleet of slaves grow, right? So this is something that he's assisting with. In the event that he wasn't married, well then, begapa yetze, which, amongst other things, means that in this case, the Adin doesn't have a right to go ahead and to provide him with this wife. What happens if after the 6 years, Omar Yoimar Ho'ever Ha'aftias Adonias Ishtives Bonei Loi Eitzei Chavshi? So there's a plan B, and that is the Parsha of Nirtza. And in the event that he does that, he has this insignia on his guf that basically says, I'm an Eved, Vavodei Lo'ilam, and now he's going to work until Yoivo. That's the Parsha of the Eved Ivri. What about the Parsha of the Amma of Riyah. So the Amma of Riyah, the Torah says right out of the gate, Lo yiseitze ketzeisa avadim. And the way the Rishonim explain it, the Ramban and the Rashbam, in Pshutei Shal Mikra, is that the Lechatchila is not Sheishonim Yavoid. Uvashviyas yeitze lachav shechinam. That's the Lechatchila when it comes to David Ivri. That's plan A. But when it comes to the Amma of Riyah, that's actually plan D. That's what the Pasuk is going to say at the end. V'mshlosh eila lo yasala, then v'yotzachinam in kasav. But really, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So what is it supposed to be? It's supposed to be, there's supposed to be a mitzvah of yid. The father, the Aldein himself, is supposed to do the yid. Or his son is supposed to do the yid. In the event that he's going to do that, well, then she's going to remain with this family forever. Because now they're happily married. And as a result, she doesn't just go free after 6 years. She doesn't go free when she becomes a gedayla. That's the way it's supposed to be. B'di'eved, if the father or the son don't want to do the yud, then at the very least for hefta, try to figure out a way to get her out. Just negotiate some sort of exit here. Right, that's the ideal way of going about it. So then already, additionally, the Torah threw in a little masachtes ksubis, because the Torah says that in the event that you're going to do a yud, which means you have to give the three things, she'era, you have to provide the sher ksus va'ina. So again, the parsha of Avadim, which is the very first parsha over here in Parshas Mishpatim, it begins with the Eved Ivri, and it goes from there to the Amma of Riyah. Now, to be very, very clear, two things that we need to speak out. The Teresh of Alpeh. Number one, we're talking about an Eved Ivri and an Amma of Riyah, as opposed to an Eved Knani and a Shivcha Knanis. As it relates to the Eved Knani and the Shivcha Knanis, we're going to see a little bit more about that in Parshas Mishpatim, but that's a different parsha in the Torah. It's a completely different parsha in the Torah. Right? When you learn the sugyas of Avadim, so there's the Eved Ivri versus the Eved Knani, and there's the Amma of Riyah versus the Shivcha Knanis. The Eved Knani doesn't go out after 6 years, the non-Jewish Eved. It's only the Eved Ivri that goes out after 6 years, etc., etc., etc. That's number one. Number two, we're talking about an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Yid, as opposed to an Eved Ivri that was sold to a guy. When Eved Ivri is sold to a guy, that has its own Shulchan Aruch. What about an Amma of Riyah that's sold to a guy? That's not okay. But that's not something you're allowed to do. That's the Mechilta that the Ramban quotes. But the bottom line is, there's a lot of different nuances when it relates to the parasha of Avadim. We're talking about the Eved Ivri that was sold to a Yid, and the Amma of Riyah that was sold to a Yid as well. So we're going to stop here. But it's interesting that the first parasha in the Torah is the parasha of Avadim. So just two things. The first is, I remember years ago, many, many years ago, so through Torah Links, I had a chavrusa that was becoming frum. He was learning Torah for the first time. And the first time I learned with him was Parshas Mishpatim. He said he wanted to learn a little bit of Chumash. So we sat down and we started learning Parshas Mishpatim. And the first parsha in the Torah talks about slavery. Everybody knows, I remember what amendment it is, but Lincoln freed the slaves. And it was considered a very, very big deal because the ones that were pro-slavery, you know, in hindsight, are treated as being very immoral, right? All men were created equally. And if that's the case, he was very, very bothered by Hayutachin that the Torah seems to be very, very pro-slavery. I'll tell you something interesting. We should probably discuss this off record, but there was a certain Gadol. He was a Talmud of the Halakha Chasam Sofer, who, if you know, you know. At one point, he became a Rav in New Orleans, Louisiana. Yeah, he was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. Then he went and he studied in the University of Hungary. Eventually, he made it to the United States. He needed a job, and he becomes a Rav in New Orleans. Now, this is when Louisiana was part of the Confederate States of America. So it was during the Civil War when, you know, several states in the United States had seceded, and these were the southern states who were very, very pro-slavery. And he comes and he gives his first Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. You can actually find this Shabbos Shuvah Drasha if you know how to look. But the bottom line is, he comes and he gives his first Drasha. And what he did was what any good rabbi would do. And that is, he preached to the converted, right? Literally. So he gets up and he says that, I know that this Chabura are very, very pro-slaves. And he says, it's okay. Because open the Torah. Parshas Mishpatim. The first law that Moses gives over to the Jewish people right after the Torah is the laws of slaves. So this is part and parcel of everything that it is that we do and we believe in. And he goes and he bangs out this drasha. It's mamish mind-boggling. This was a real Talmud Chacham. This tshuva svarim from him. Again, if you know, you know. But the bottom line is that's what this Adam Gadol got up, and this was his Shabbat Shuvah drasha, like 1862 in New Orleans. Love to have been there. But this is what's going on, right? So, but what's Takedah Pshat? Right? It's something that is really hard to wrap our heads around. At the end of the day, the Torah is in many ways the moral code for all future generations. How do we understand the fact that there was slavery in the Torah? So this is above my pay grade, but just there's one Marumakim that, if you don't know this Marumakim, you don't have a right to even ponder this question. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, it says, Ki toiv loy imach. Right, it says in the parish of Avadim, Ki toiv loy imach. What does it mean, Ki toiv loy imach? Say Chazal, imach b'maychol, v'imach b'mishta. That if somebody purchases an Eved, he has to be with him. Imach b'maychol and imach b'mishta. He should eat with you, he should drink with you. Shloi te'ata oichol pasnikia. You should not be eating good bread. And he's eating not good bread. You shouldn't be drinking aged wine. And he's drinking a 2026 something. Sweet wine. Agabe muchim, you're sleeping on like a very soft pillow and blanket for Yoshin Agabe Ateven. And he's in the barn. That's where he's sleeping. Mikan Amru. Chazal said, you know what you see from this halacha ki toiv leimach? Kala koina eved ivri ki koina adon la'atzmai. That if somebody acquires an eved ivri, he literally thinks he bought an eved and buy an eved. He was koina adon la'atzmai. If you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos says, I understand. Kala koina eved ivri ki koina adon la'atzmai. I just learned this chazal. I hear. Imach b'maychol, imach b'mishta, shloi tei ato oichol pasniki v'oichol paskiber. You weren't kind of an adoin. If you weren't kind of an Eved, you thought, you know, this Eved, he's going to do, I'm going to say jump, and he's going to say how high, right? But it's not mamish like that. But how are you kind of other latzmai? You're eating the same foods. I mean, if he was eating better food than you, it's kind of other latzmai. But that's not what's going on. So Tais quotes the Yerushalmi. Quote, the pa'amim ein loy elokar achas. You know what the oimik of kekoina adon latzmai is? Because sometimes a person only has one pillow. Im shoychev ala ba'atzmai, if he's going to take the pillow for himself, einoy mekayim ki toiv loy imach. He's not going to be Mekayim. And you know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to go ahead and he's going to have to give it to his Eved. So the Kitoiv Le'imach is, because that's true, if you have two pillows, you're both getting a pillow. But what if you only have one, so you have to fight for the pillow? You know who's getting it? You know who's getting it? He's getting it. And that's why Kolakoina Eved Ivri is Kekoina Adon La'atzmoy. You're actually going and you're buying an Eved for yourself. It's true, there's a parasha of Avdus in the Torah, but it's done in the Torah-dig way. It's done in an extremely sensitive way. And really, you have to understand the Torah Shavah Peh, and you have to understand the Mishpatei HaTorah before you even weigh in on a conversation like this. In Mishnah Torah, when the Torah chazes over the parasha of Avadim, so the Torah talks about the Eved Ivri, and the Torah talks about the fact that he goes out after 6 years, and if he chooses to stay on board a little bit longer, so it is the parasha of the Nirtza. Over there, the Lashon HaPasuk is as follows. It's going to be, if the Eved Ivri is going to come to you and he's going to say, I don't want to leave. Ki I love you. In your house. Ki toiv imach. Right? Ki toiv imach. Because it's pretty good. Right? Why would an Eved Ivri ever want to stay on board? It's ki toiv loyimach, because kolakoina eved kekoina adon laatzmai. In a situation like that, v'lokachta samarzeya v'nosata ba'oznayu v'adeles v'hoyelucha eved oylam, etc., etc., etc. But the Lutzker Rav in his Naim L'Torah, we're going to end with this, says that we know wherever it says vayehi in the Torah, in a loshen tzar. Wherever it says v'hoya, it's always a loshen of simcha. Said the Lutzker Rav, v'hoya ki yoymar eilecha. On what planet, in which part of the world is there such a thing that somebody was being held hostage and now all of a sudden he's allowed to go free and he says, you know something? I love my captors. Because you've been treating me so well. It's never, ever, ever happened in history with the exception of amongst the Jewish people. And being that there's an Indian where it's even shaykh that an Eved would say that I want to stay. Says the Lutzkerov, the Hoya, This is an incredible simcha. Simcha u'besura toivah liYisrael. She'nitnu loy min ha'shamayim chukim tzadikim u'mishpatim yisharim ha'poysrim es yachse ya'ived v'amavid ba'ofen kozeh. She'ha'eved oymer ha'hafti es ha'doini v'ha'odoin enei gadol be'beisoy ma'ya'eved ba'uma loy b'maycho v'loy b'mishta v'loy b'shina ki toiv loy imach. He says, you want to bring out the beauty of the Torah. It's true, there's a parasha of avodim, because unfortunately, sometimes people are forced into situations like this. But don't for 1 minute visualize the relationship between the master and the slave in the same way that maybe it played itself out in the last few hundred years. That's not what the visual is. It's a visual of ki toiv la'imach. It's a visual of kol ha'koina eved ka'koina adon la'atzmai. That's why there was even an Indian of a nirtza. Where would you come to such a thing? Ahavti es adoini, imagine those words, right? Where would you even come to that? The teretz is because the mishpatei ha'Torah force us to do things differently. They train us to do things differently. And that's v'hoya. That's v'hoya ki yoymaro eved. And the reason is because ein lecha simcha u'besura toivah liYisrael shenitnu lo chukim min hashamayim. There's nothing that brings out the beauty of the Torah sometimes than the way the Torah navigates these very, very challenging situations. So yeah, it's true. There was a parasha of avdus in the Torah. And without a doubt, once upon a time, it's definitely something that made a lot of sense, right? There's no question in the world. This is the way the world was. But the Torah, rising above, says that although it's true, there's an inyan that you can have an eved, but remember, ki toiv lo imach, ad kidei kach, kalakoine eved, kikoine adon la'atz.